If you already prepay for your energy, a smart meter means you can top up at the touch of a button. Whether you're on the sofa,
with your little cherubs,
at the shops, after the shops have closed, or when you're cozy in bed and it's raining cats and chicos.
Top up anytime, anywhere. In store, on mobile or online. Search Get a Smart Meter. Eligibility may vary. Consumer action required.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Drop the Gloves. Tim, we're into February. You're moved. You're in your new place. How do you like it with all your bedrooms and toilets and one percenter stuff that a lot of people don't have and you take for granted? How is it? How's life in the upper crust?
Life is good. If you're watching on YouTube, obviously new background, and I apologize for the dark lighting. I haven't quite figured it out, and I didn't know when I woke up that we were doing an episode today, but here we are. The move went great, all things considered. It's just a lot of work. Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, two apartments in different locations, moving into one unit, no movers. We did all the couches, the beds, like the frames, like all the bureaus and desks. It was a lot. I'm exhausted, but everything is in here, and we're just kind of slowly picking at, you know, putting things away, and everything finds a home. And the place itself is great, so it's good to have it behind us. And yeah, it's been great.
Did you have to cleanse your stuff before she was moving it into the van? Like, oh, I gotta. How much did you throw out before she started grabbing your stuff?
Not a ton. We keep, you know, there's a lot of stuff we have two of. Like, hey, we don't need two of this or two of that, so let's just donate one or get rid of one or whatever. But still a lot of stuff. We have a garage. It's like full of things. We're like, how is this two people's worth of stuff? It's crazy.
You can't stop breaking.
Yeah. Okay. I'm exhausted. I just carried the groceries upstairs and my legs are like jelly right now. It's crazy. Wow. Yeah. How are you, John?
Are you going to be able to get through this episode or should we just cancel?
We have the next 25 minutes to find out. So we'll see.
And for those of you watching on YouTube, you can tell Tim's in his bad boy mode with his beard. He's usually clean shaven. He looks intimidating. It's hard to kind of get over, but I'm good. I'm a little tired. We had a men's league last night. Only six guys showed up, so I played the whole game. And I'm a little hard on the refs because I feel like I know the rules fairly well. And I almost got kicked out of the game because he blows a call. And we're playing, this team was really good. And we're hanging in there. It's 2-0 at that point, and we're playing good. It's a third period. They pass the puck the length of the ice. And for my listeners out here, I was never a referee, but I feel like I got a good handle on the rules. Tell me if I'm wrong. Their defenseman passes it up the ice. It's all the way up the ice, past the red line, right near our blue line. So it's gone over the blue line, the red line, approaching our blue line. A guy in my team is about to pick it off to go the other way. The intended pass getter, so the guy who was going to get the pass, lifted my guy's stick. The puck goes through both of them, does not touch anybody, goes the length of the ice. Icing. No brainer. Ref calls it off, the other team gets the puck, and they score. I try to be charitable, and I try to be nice just because it's just what I do. I start, and I'm not swearing, I'm like, that's an icing. It's a no-brainer icing. He's like, no, they were both going for the puck. No, they weren't, first of all. But even if they were, nobody touched it. It's an icing. It's a no-brainer icing call. No. And he gives me this line. I know who you are. Just because you played in a certain level doesn't mean you know the rules. And I go, I don't care where league I played, but like, it's everybody knows it's an icing. I said, I just talked to their bench. They think it was an icing. You're wrecking this game. And he just like was giving me a hard time. He's like, don't take this personal. I'm like, I am taking this personal because we've been getting screwed all game, I feel like. Because I get hooked and held all game long. And I don't get any penalties called on me just because I am who I am. And what I do as a guy who's, if someone tries to toe drag me, I don't overly hit them, Tim, but I stand my ground. So when they cut in, I'm there. And so I did that earlier in the game. One of their guys who was dipsy doodling, I was just there when he cut in and it buried him. And he called a penalty on. And I just asked the ref, I'm like, am I not allowed to stand here? Can this not be my space?
Were you there the same way you were there when Louis Erickson was chasing his dump? Is that what you mean by there?
No, I hit Louis Erickson clean. This guy, I was just standing there, holding my ground like a pick in basketball. Anyways, so I played the whole game other than those 2 minutes. And I feel fine. And we lost, by the way, because after that rep gave me a hard time, I stopped playing for a shift and they scored again. I was like, I'm not going to touch him. And I gave a guy a breakaway and he scored because I was being petty. And that's just how I am. But anyways, moving on, I feel fine. And the reason we're doing an episode today, because stuff has happened since our last episode on Thursday. The big buildup, JT Miller, Elias Pettersson, what is Vancouver going to do? Will they, won't they? The president coming out and just pouring gasoline on this fire of an organization. Well, the rubber hit the road, and the guy who leaves, everybody already knows, is JT Miller. Two-time friend of the show. He's on the move again, going back to New York. Three-time friend of the show?
Yep.
Boy, he loves it here. He's going back to New York, the one place where he wanted to go. And let me tell you, I know JT a little bit, just from being on the show and being around. He didn't want to leave New York. He loved the city. He loved playing there. He did not want to go. And it's outside of hockey, too. His wife has a very successful, home decorating business where she works with people and designs and this and that. And his kids love the area. He loves the area. He was happy to go back. And don't let anything fool you. He loved Vancouver. But at the end of the day, he didn't want to leave. And he's super excited to go back. Hence the first two games he played, Tim, his first shift. Well, first period versus Boston, he buries it past Korpisalo. In the next game, what do you get? Did he only get two assists last game? But he's playing great.
Yeah. So let's talk about, this is the second Friday in a row now that we've had a major blockbuster trade happen in the National Hockey League, which is crazy. There's something in the air because there's four trades we're going to talk about, not to mention the huge NBA trade, which we won't talk about, but that's a wild one. So the trade itself, the Rangers acquired JT Miller, Eric Brandstrom, and Jackson Dorrington, so, minor leaguer, for Filip Hedl, which was, a little bit difficult to give up, right? You wanted him. Victor Mancini, who hasn't really stuck around in the NHL, and a conditional first-round pick. I think it's top 13 protected.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and from the Rangers' perspective, they get a guy who's last year had 103 points. Like, this is a very, very good player. Still, I would say, in his prime. His best days are probably behind him, but he's 31 years old. He's still going to be a very good player for a couple more years. And Chris Drury even said, quote, certainly an exciting day, an exciting night last night to acquire JT Miller, one of the premier impact forwards in the NHL, brings a lot of unique combination of skills, size, and physicality to our team. Not just helps us this year in the short term, but will be a key part of our core moving forward. That part I think is interesting, the whole core thing, because you add a core piece to a team whose window is now. They have some young players, but their window is now. Their best player, Panarin, is 33 years old. So like you want to compete right now this year. And this has been a very underwhelming season, which I know is one of the points that you want to get to, is shaking up this roster. Their three centers that they have locked up long term are now JT Miller, who's 31 years old, Vincent Trocheck, who's 31 years old, and Mika Zibanejad, who's 31 years old. Zibanejad might be a winger now. He played wing on Miller's line last night. So we'll see how this all shakes out. But this is an old core. And if you're the Rangers, does that worry you at all, the fact that you get rid of one of your good young players and bring in a guy, like I said, who's 31 years old and is going to age pretty quickly in the next few years?
And not to mention, you can't mention those three guys without mentioning Shesterkin, who's 29, and then you go to your back end. Adam Fox is 26. You got Lindgren, who's 26. You got Borgen, who's 28. So it's a win now moment. You can't regroup. You can't trade your top guys because Shesterkin, he needs to win now. I think they've learned their lesson when they had Henrik Lundqvist, and they always kind of, we'll do it next year. We'll do it next year. Chris Drury is doing it this year. And if you look just at the standings, maybe it's not the best time. Right now, they're sixth place in the wild card ranking, meaning there's five teams above them to get to the first wild card spot. So they're not even in a playoff position, which is wild to think about. A team making all these moves who potentially might miss the playoffs. And we know the Eastern Conference is just a crapshoot at this moment. Every night, there's a team dropping out. There's a team going in. It changes by the second. But just speaking Chris Drury, this is what you want. If you're a Rangers fan, if you're a Rangers player, this is what you want your GM to do. You have a great team, potentially. And I know I'm hard on Zibanejad. I know I'm hard on the New York Rangers as a whole. And they deserve it because they have the talent. People know what they can do. But when you have a top flight forward in Artemi Panarin, when you have a world-class defenseman in Adam Fox, and you have potentially the best goaltender on the planet in Igor Shesterkin, it is your duty as a GM to surround them with talent to go for the Stanley Cup every single year. And Chris Drury could have sat on his hands this year and say, you know what? I did my best. I did whatever I could. And we're just going to punt to next year. Now, he got rid of his captain, Jacob Trouba. He got rid of his number two overall pick in Kaapo Kakko. And now he has gone out and got the most enticing forward on the market, JT Miller. And like it or not, you know, we have to look at this trade in a little, like a microscope. This is it. We can't look 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road because then we don't know what's going to happen. But just as today, Tim, this season, the New York Rangers have a better chance to win the Stanley Cup this year than they did 2 days ago. JT Miller is better than Filipino. He immediately makes an impact on this team. The one problem the Rangers had for the last 3, 4, 5 years was shoring up the top six. Can Kakko fill that spot? Can Lafreniere fill that right-hand spot? They could not find that right-winger spot. They tried. Will Cully, is he going to be that spot? You bring in guys, you brought in Tarasenko, you had Kane there. Who can fill that right side? Well, with the addition of JT Miller, they have a solid top six now. A very, very potent first two lines that can go out there and be a threat every time they're on the ice. Last year, they were very one-dimensional. When they shut down Zibanejad and Panarin, who else scores? Trocheck came through at moments, and he was the guy, and Lafreniere carried the weight a lot of the time. Now you have two solid lines. But going back to Drury, you have to give him GM of the Year. I think you have to. For the pressure that he was under, for the players that he moved, and just the status they held on that team, your captain, one of your cornerstones in the future in Kaapo Kakko, to gas those guys and then to trade Filipino, former first rounder, who was part of your plans moving forward. I think this is a home run for the New York Rangers. I really do. This year, you know, 4 years down the road, we could be going, ooh, it doesn't look so good. But right now, like I said, at the top of this little rant I'm on, you got Shesterkin, Tim, and you got all those guys who are 31 years old, and you got the defense in their age. You have to win now. There's no tomorrow. There's no next year. There's no, okay, well, we're going to regroup. This is it. This could be the last chance. They're not going to be better next year. So I love this move by Chris Drury.
And not just what he produces in terms of putting up points, but don't you think that he fills a need for the Rangers in terms of like his intensity and his energy? And even like he mm-hmm. plays with anger that I don't think a lot of guys on the Rangers have. I think Trouba had it, but he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Rempe probably has it, but he's very, very limited in what he can do. There's not a lot of guys in that lineup that can bring that saltiness, that sandpaper, that JT Miller. Like, there's not a lot of guys in the whole league that can do that combination at a very high level. So JT Miller is bringing that. And it is interesting that he's been on the Rangers before. And some people are pointing this out, the fact that they missed his best years. They traded him away in 2018, I believe. The year before that was his most points with the Rangers was 56. Then he goes and plays with the Lightning. He goes and plays with Vancouver. Obviously, the last 3 years for Vancouver, 99 points, 82 points, 103 points. He's on pace for about 70 to 75 this year. He might pick it up a little bit. Got to think he's been distracted and not 100% focused, but it is a little bit tough to swallow that you had this player, got rid of him for his prime, and now bring him back at the tail end of his prime. But yeah, like you said, the market is what it is. You know you like the player. You know he wants to be there. And I don't think you gave up, you know, too much to get him. So I think it's a great move for the Rangers, like you said. And this will hopefully kind of see them leapfrog the standings as they kind of continue through the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Hedl's a great player. Could be really, really good. The problem with his, he's injury prone. Like he cannot seem to stay healthy, and it's a terrible thing to say, Tim, but he's one concussion away from being done for his career. Like he's had some big issues in that department, and then Mancini could be a top four D-man for Vancouver. We'll see. He'll be given the opportunity. Maybe they made another deal that could push his, you know, ice time down a little bit in the first round pick. It'll be 13 or lower, so it's not anything, you know, to get excited about. It's not going to be a lottery pick, so it is. It's a crapshoot at that point. Anything after 13 is who knows what you're going to get. So the key for Vancouver here, they did not retain any money. We talked about New York. Okay, you're getting the best player. You extend your Stanley Cup window. You improve it this year. Your odds go up. The Canucks were dealing from a deficit based on Rutherford's comments. The key for them, in my eyes, was not retaining any money. You have to keep your window open. JT Miller didn't work. You're going with Pettersson. We can't eat any of that $8 million per that he's making, and they didn't do that. So they got rid of a 31-year-old centerman who is, by all counts, on the decline, rightfully so. You kind of get worse once you hit 30, and you have that money to spend elsewhere. And you bring in a good young forward who could potentially be a good second-line player. So it's a win, and then you get a first round. So I think both teams benefit, but at the end of the day, I think the Rangers slightly win this trade. Miller's a stud, man. I don't care what anybody says. I like the way he plays the game. He is a game changer. He's a culture changer. And we'll get into it in a little bit. He was loved in the locker room based on comments we've heard from Frank Saravalli.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. So you mentioned, okay, on paper, the Canucks got a little bit worse. Although you could make the argument, and a lot of people are trying this, like, okay, it's addition by subtraction. Now you're going to see the team. The drama's gone. It's behind you. The awkward elephant in the room. And I don't mean that Miller's the elephant. I mean the tension between Miller and Pettersson, obviously. And so that's gone. And now you focus on moving forward. And it's an addition by subtraction. You're going to be better off for this whole thing being behind you. But Frank pointed out, and he said, quote, there was a lot of understanding that, quote, a lot of players on Vancouver are very upset about the Miller trade and that this wasn't the move they wanted. That is really, really interesting. And again, he's not mincing words here. He's basically saying, according to Frank, that some players or many players or all players wanted Pettersson to be the one shipped out and Miller kept. Now, if you're the GM, you don't care of that. Like you want the younger player who has a higher offensive potential, who you can lock up long term. But do you think that this means that these locker room issues could continue even after the Miller's gone?
Yeah. Like it doesn't seem like they've solved anything. And we're usually, especially in the NHL, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's not a lot of baseless rumors that get spread in the hockey world. So Frank Saravalli is one of the most well-respected guys out there. I can count on one hand the times he's been off a little bit. So he's not throwing this out there flippantly. So there is issues there. And we've had a lot of guys on the show who play for Vancouver, Tyler Myers, Connor Garland. They love JT Miller. They think he is a super teammate, a super guy, and they'll go to bat for him. And I don't know how they feel about Pettersson. They probably would say the same thing. But what's interesting is usually when you trade, you know, a high-end player like this, and you're the GM, you talk about the player, you know, wish him well. We're focusing on the guys that are here now. We want to win now. We bring in Filipetto, a first rounder. We're not rebuilding because look at who we have. We have Quinn Hughes. We got Brock Besser. And now we have Elias Pettersson. He is our guy. He is our rock. Build that guy up. What does Patrick Alvin do? Nah. He doesn't say anything positive about Pettersson. So this is his quote when a reporter asks him, well, what does Elias Pettersson have to do now that JT Miller's gone? Where does his role go? And he says, well, that's part of being a professional hockey player, especially when you commit to that kind of contract. My expectation is higher on him than anyone else on our team, and I expect him to meet my expectation, and I expect him to meet his own expectation. And so far, he has not done that. If you talk to him, he's disappointed, but he's aware of it, and I know that he's capable, and he will work at it. It doesn't ring, Tim, a huge endorsement of your star player who you're about to pay $11 million, does it? It kind of pings at, I don't know what to do with him. He's got to play better. Is that what you want your GM saying after you deal JT Miller in this high drama scenario?
It's not. And there's not a lot of like single individual players in the entire league that have more pressure and more spotlight on them right now than Elias Pettersson. I mean, people are kind of watching to see what Miller's done. He's done very well. It's only been two games. We're not going to read too much into that just yet. But Pedersen was minus two the first game without Miller in the lineup with no points. So, yeah, I think you're going to have to see him step up. And hopefully he does. The Canucks certainly need it. And we've seen him be, you know, an incredible point producer in this league before. So hopefully now there's no more excuse. You know what I mean? Like, you have nothing to blame it on but yourself. And you actually – you have your team is weaker for it. So you have to rely more on the players who are there. So Pedersen, you've got to be at least a point per game guy the rest of the way. And ideally
– more.
Yeah. And I don't know that he's going to do that.
No. Listen, if you're making – so I apologize. This is his first year. It was $11.6 million deal for eight years. You have to be getting 110 points a year if you're in that rarefied air. That's where you live if you're making that kind of money. And the fact that the GM is challenging him to be better, it's like, holy moly, boy. Like, if you need to challenge your $11.5 million superstar to play better, you're already done. Like, he should be playing better. And now he loses a really good player that he could play with. But it's just, I went back and forth with Pedersen for years now. I didn't like this guy 3 years ago. I thought he was selfish. He was just looking out for number one. He didn't want to sign a long-term deal. Oh, we're going to see what the team does. I don't want to commit to this team. We'll see how it goes. And then I thought he turned the corner. But then JT Miller comes in. He maybe starts challenging him and be trying to get him to be a better player, be a better teammate. And then he waffled and he took a back seat. And then the infighting started in the locker room. And all of a sudden he's reverted back to that guy. Well, I don't really like it, but this is a huge moment for him. And maybe he embraces it. And lost in the shuffle is poor Quinn Hughes. Yeah. He's just like having to deal with all this crap. And all of a sudden he loses probably the best player on the team in JT Miller. And he's left sitting there. Well, what the hell do I do? Like, let's go, you guys. So it's an interesting scenario. The GM challenging the best player, JT Miller getting shipped out, and you get some good pieces in return. But where do the Vancouver Canucks go from here, Tim? Like, where do you see this franchise? Because it doesn't seem like, you mentioned the locker room issues are still there. You're not getting any better. Do you see this team being a Stanley Cup contender?
If you already prepay for your energy, a smart meter means you can top up at the touch of a button. Whether you're on the sofa,
with your little cherubs,
at the shops, after the shops have closed, or when you're cozy in bed and it's raining cats and chicos.
Top up anytime, anywhere. In-store, on mobile, or online. Search Get a Smart Meter. Eligibility may vary. Consumer action required.
No, not this year. Mm-hmm. And it's too bad. And actually kind of that tees up perfectly to the next segment, which is the other trade they made over the long weekend. Mm-hmm. Long weekend for me. Vancouver Canucks acquired Marcus Pedersen, Drew O'Connor from the Pittsburgh Penguins for Danton Heinen, Vincent Desharnais, Melvin Fernstrom, minor leaguer, and a first-round pick, which is kind of funny because now they already had two Elias Pettersons, and now they have Marcus Pettersson, all spelled the same way. I was reading up on Marcus. I knew he's been a pretty good defenseman for Pittsburgh for a few years now, and the reading on him is that he's a first-pairing guy. He averages over 22 minutes a game. He played 25 in his first game with Vancouver, but Quinn Hughes is out that night. He does everything pretty well, but nothing like exceptionally well, but no major weaknesses either. But the big thing that you want from him and what makes him so valuable is that he can log those heavy minutes and you can match him against the first line pretty comfortably. So that's a really a coach's dream, and allows guys like Hughes and Ronick and other guys like him to go out and produce offense when Pedersen's on the ice. So it's a good pickup by them. And I think it indicates that they're still competing this year. Just like the Rangers are on the outside looking in of the playoff spot, but they're going to be fighting for this. So I think this is a good sign that they still intend to fight, compete for a spot. And I think this is a team that could upset some teams too in the first round because it's just so wide open. So that's to answer your question. I think this is still a team that sees that their window is still open right now. But I don't think necessarily that there's a non-zero chance that Pedersen gets dealt as well, Elias Pedersen. There's still some chatter around that even after the JT Miller trade.
Yeah, he's not going to get traded. I don't think anybody would. I don't think he's going to get traded. But I think this trade has a bigger impact than the Filipino trade. I like Pedersen. I think he's a good defenseman. He's a poor man's Gustav Forsling for the Florida Panthers. He's kind of a do-it-all, like you said, defenseman. And they needed someone to play with Quinn Hughes. They had Philip Ronick last year and they played a ton together. I don't know why they haven't put those two back together a lot this year. He's been playing with Tyler Myers. He's been playing Ronick. He hasn't really found a consistent partner. If they can lock him in with Marcus Pettersson, and then that frees up Ronick and Myers and Derek Forbert. I don't like Derek Forbert. And those bottom six, seven, eight guys to fill out the bottom four, I think they will have a very, very good decor that they can build around. But I like this trade. I like Marcus Pettersson. And it's interesting, Sidney Crosby after this trade, and don't, you know, rule out Drew O'Connor too. He's a very good bottom six forward who knows his role and he can, you know, put some goals in every now and again when he needs to. Not when he needs to, but when he can. Sidney Crosby texted Rick Tocchet right after the trade saying, you got a good one. Like that, these guys are good. They're good players, they're good humans. And how rare is that when the guy who gets poached of players that he wants messages the guy in the organization saying, hey, this is a good trade. It's a very good trade. So this will have a big impact on this team. I think Pettersson will obviously make more next year. He's going to be a UFA, but this is a good trade for the Vancouver Canucks. This will have a lasting impact on this team. If they can re-sign Pettersson, he's a good, good player who's a nice security blanket for Quinn Hughes, which someone in the comments are to educate me why Philip Ronick isn't playing with Quinn Hughes that much this year. I don't understand. It was such a successful pairing last year. Maybe they're just not clicking. I don't get it. I don't watch every Vancouver Canucks game, so I don't know the reasons behind that. But this is a good trade for the Canucks. I like this. It also signals, Tim, Pittsburgh's done. They're done. They're selling the ship. They're like third last in the Eastern Conference. That's it. So what do you, we'll talk about this at another time, but the Pittsburgh Penguins, just an abject disaster since what's-his-face Kyle Dubas took the reins and just turned this team into a complete dumpster fire with bad contracts, old players, not a lot of prospects. Like, what the hell we do in Pittsburgh? Now, all of a sudden, you just, I don't know. Anyways, anything else on this trade, Tim?
No, I'm just thinking, I remember when Dubas took that job, and we both said on the show, like, I don't think there's a harder GM job in the league right now than the Pittsburgh Penguins. And not because they were the worst team. It was because they were like, they weren't quite that bad, but nowhere. It was crazy.
It wasn't hard. You just had to make hard decisions that first year. Get rid of Letang.
Yeah.
Get rid of Malkin. Keep Crosby for sentimental value, but remake that roster. And he didn't do it. He leaned into those three guys. He brought in Carlson, brings in some other vets, and it just didn't work. He should have just got rid of them all, cut bait, and started again. But now he's reaping what he sowed, Tim. This team is terrible, and they have no signs of any hope on the horizon for the Pittsburgh Penguins, unfortunately.
So two more trades happened over this weekend, the weekend of crazy trades. The Flyers and the Flames kind of kicked this whole thing off. The Flames acquired Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost from the Flyers in exchange for Kuzmenko, Jacob Pelletier, 2025 second-round pick, and a 2028 seventh-round pick. This one did surprise me. Farabee and Morgan Frost are fan favorites. I think they're frustrating players at times, like a Jake DeBrus type, where like, you should be better. We've seen you be better. Why aren't you better? And it hasn't quite strung it together for long enough. There was one player we had, I don't remember if it was Gudas or someone else, who had played on the Flyers, and we asked him who underrated, and he said Joel Farabee.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was. Someone can remind us. But yeah, surprising trade. These guys were both first-round picks, I think in 2017, 2018. Haven't quite lived up to the potential, but the skill is there to be effective NHL players. And I bet one of these guys could still have a tier that they haven't reached yet. So hopefully in a new market, they get a chance to do that.
This will end up being like the trade with Pierre-Luc Dubois in the Winnipeg Jets when they got Iafallo and Vilardi, and they ended up being the best players in the trade. I like both of these players. They play hard. They seem to be well-liked. They have some skill. They have some sandpaper. This is a great play. Trade for the Calgary Flames. I don't know any other way around it. Kuzmenko, obviously a very good score. Pelletier in a second round pick. It's a good return for them, but boy, oh boy. These Calgary Flames, Tim, slowly but surely put together a fairly good roster. They've been competing this year. We had Ryan Lomberg on the show earlier this season. We just talked about how they build their identity and who they are as a team, and Jonathan Huberdeau having a bounce back year and this and that. They have a damn good team. I think you throw Farabee right in the first line with Huberdeau and Kadri. And then you have Morgan Frost. I think he scored in his first game. Like, they have a really good team. And all of a sudden, a team that was supposed to be mired in a rebuild. You know, you lose Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau's gone, your defense, which was once such a strength, is now not strong anymore. You had Zadorov, you had Tanev, you had Uyghur. The defense has changed. You got Anderson, you got Bean, you got Joel Hanley, you have Uyghur still there, but it's just a completely different team, and they're all of a sudden a dangerous team. They have a ton of cap space next year. You got some draft picks, and you have some optimism with this team. It's fantastic. I love what Craig Conroy has done. It's a win for the Calgary Flames, and I don't know why Philly gives up on these two guys when they have shown they can put up points, consistently putting up 30, 40, 50 points, which is good. Which is good, Tim. I don't get this move for them, and I know you get some return, but boy, this is a huge win for me for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this because those guys were both drafted, like I said, 17 and 18. So they weren't picked by Briere. They weren't picked by Torts. And so they kind of they precede these new ownership, this new head coach.
Yep,
not ownership,
yep.
but leadership. And so you kind of think, okay, they weren't their guys. They gave them a fair shot. They're ready to move on. This is just a hunch. I don't have anything to back this up. I'm just kind of reading the tea leaves here. It feels like the Flyers are quietly setting up for something big. Whether it happens this year, but more likely in the offseason, go surprise everyone with a major trade or free agent signing or like an Elias Pettersson type superstar that you come in that isn't quite settled where he is now. And all of a sudden they try to jump the rankings. You give someone like a center to play with Mishkov and you go out and get a, you know, a top four, top pairing defenseman. And all of a sudden no one saw it coming. Then you look back and you realize, okay, they've been gearing up for this for a year and a half now. So. Just a hunch. We'll see if anything comes out of it. But yeah, they shipped away some good players in the last 2 years, and they haven't really brought many new ones in. So you got to think that they have some kind of design for that.
You would hope so, because this team is just mired in it's just a dark hole, a place you don't want to be. They have a lot of good individual players, but then you look at their roster and you look at how the contracts work out. It's not good. It is not good at all. Sean Couturier is on one of the worst contracts in the NHL. Great guy. But he's in year three of an 8-year deal that pays him $7.75 million. And this guy barely will scratch 40 points this year. And he is not always injured, but that's definitely his MO at this point in his career. He's 32 years old. So he'll be done at 38. Owen Tippett. Kind of the young prospect that never really found his footing, and you paid him a boatload of money when you got him from the Florida Panthers. He just never really found it. He's making $6 million, and you got Konechny, who signed that monster deal last year. He's making a ton of money next year. Is he making 9 million? Yeah. So he's something almost like making that. $10 million. Dollars. I love your optimism. I love it. I just don't see how this team can change. I don't see what makes them good. Their back end, like it's okay. You got Risto for a few more years. You got Sealer. You brought in Drysdale. That's good. But I cannot get excited about this team. I really can't. So I hope they do something. It's good when the Flyers are good. It's good for the league. But boy, Briere has a lot of work to do. He has a lot of contracts that I just don't like. I think the Konechny was a big mistake. I really do. I don't think he's worth that money. He's a feisty player, don't get me wrong. He's good for that city, the blue collar vibe. He's making 9 million and his career high in points is 68. Right? Like, is that?
Yeah.
I love his intangibles, but man, your best player cannot be Travis Konechny. You can't.
Well, it's one thing if you're paying a 22, 23, 24 year old on futures, like we've seen with so many guys. But Konechny's been around. You know what I mean? Like, he certainly can have, he can be a point per game guy. Yeah. I think if all the chips fell the right way.
No.
You don't think he'll ever be 80 point guy?
No, never, ever. Never, ever. He is what he is. This is where you're such an optimist. And the best is on the horizon. There's good things to come, you guys. There's good things to come.
Yeah.
This guy is 27, 28 years old. He has played his best hockey. That's it. Like, he is not getting better. You have Mishkov. I get that. That'll be fun. He's getting benched by Tortorella. There is just a fundamental difference between these two guys. Tortorella tried for a little bit.
Yeah.
It is not working. Something has to give there. But when you have Mishkov playing with Couturier, Do you think those two guys complement each other?
Nope.
Not a chance in the world. So something needs to give on this roster, and I just don't know what it is. You have the conservative coach who likes to be accountable and play hard and go through people and block shots and not, you know, playing above the puck. And then you have the new school of players coming in who want to run and gun, who want to do fun stuff. And Michkov has given it back to Torts on the bench like last week, like having an actual argument on the bench because he missed a play and the other team scored. So something needs to give with this team. I don't know what it is, but I do not like where they're headed. Last year was fun. They were fighting above their weight class. They're winning. Everything was great. I think they've come down to earth now. This is the team that they are. They have a lot of bad contracts, and there's really nothing to get excited about. I think you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing exciting right now, but I just think there's going to be something from out of nowhere, something
you're
from the
Breakers. You're the best. Tim's the type of guy you want to have as a friend, because when times are tough, and you know, you're just like, gosh, this sucks. Nothing's going right. Tim's in your ear going, it's going to get better, bud. It's going to get better. You know what? Tomorrow's going to be great. You got this. Whereas I'm like, it's going to get worse. This is just tip of the iceberg, my friend. It gets way worse than this. I'm the eternal pessimist and Tim's the optimist.
Hey, it all works out in the end. And if it's not worked out, then it's not the end. There you go. Right.
That's a nice, I like that quote. I'll never use it. My quote is, it's always darkest before pitch black. It always gets worse. So.
Yeah. All right.
The last one. Let's get to this one. The San Jose Sharks and the Dallas Stars. Dallas Stars in need of some reinforcements, Tim. Miro Heiskanen, just disgusting hit by Mark Stone. He's out for an unknown amount of time. Lower body injury. Everybody knows what that dirtbag Mark Stone did to him. Nils Lundqvist, their defenseman, out. He's on the IR. Tyler Seguin on the LTIR. Mason Marchment just went on the IR. Four key guys out of this lineup. And for a team that's a Stanley Cup contender, for a team that's a little bit older in places, they need some reinforcements. And GM Jim Neal went out and made a great play for the Dallas Stars. Talking to the San Jose Sharks, Mikael Granlund, Cody Ceci, two good veteran players, guys who can help this roster. Not only now, they can play big minutes, but they can help them in the playoffs too. They've been there, done that. He swings a trade with these guys. He gives up a first rounder. He gives up a fourth rounder. And he gets two solid veteran NHL players just to kind of calm the storm in Dallas. Because right now there's a lot of unknown. And then as for Mike Greer, he hits it out of the park too. I think both of these teams get an A+ in this trade. Mike Greer brings these guys in. He knows they're rentals. He knows he's going to lose them at the trade deadline. Well, he jumps the gun, gets a first rounder, gets a third rounder, and then he opens up some playing time for his young forwards to maybe get a little more ice time. Because this core for San Jose, Tim, is very exciting. You know, we talk about other cores. We talk about young teams. We talk about draft picks. All of a sudden, the Sharks, we had Eklund on the show, William Eklund, before the season started. He was excited too. You got Mac Calabrini. You got Will Smith. They bang a trade for that Askarov goaltender, and all of a sudden your pipes are secure for the next 5 to 10 years. Momentum is happening in San Jose. I like this move from Mike Greer. Then you add another first-round pick to go along with theirs next year. So it's good. The momentum is happening. They have a good pipeline. It's very, very nice. They did not retain any money like they did in the Brent Burns trade. So it's a win for both teams. What did you think about this trade, Tim?
I think I agree with everything you said. I really like Granlund. I talked about Granlund like 2 weeks ago. I think he's a great player. I think he's a low end top line guy, but a great second line guy, all things considered. The only part, again, maybe you can tell me I'm wrong for thinking this, but I'm a little bit worried that the Dallas Stars, who have very high hopes, who are playing very well, considering some major injuries, you get some cap space because of LTIR and because of some relief. And I wonder if they should have done something a little bit more than this. Like you have an opportunity to go out and get some pieces that you haven't had in a few years because you've been spending to the cap and you've had a pretty healthy team minus the Sagan thing. But don't you think if you had an opportunity, wouldn't you want a little more than a Granlund and a Ceci if you finally get the chance to go out and make a splash and then you go out and get just two pretty good serviceable veteran players? Or am I totally off here?
Well, what do you suggest them do then? You want them in on the JT Miller? Do you want them to go out to get like a superstar?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have the list in front of me, but I saw two other contending teams go out and get Miller and Rantanen in the span of 8 days. So I feel like there were moves to be made out there. And if I dug a little bit, I could look at that. So I'm not disappointed. I'm just something I was thinking about over the weekend when I saw this thing come through.
Yeah, I think when you look at their roster, they didn't need first line help. I think they needed depth help with this team because you have Robinson, you have Hintz, you have Stankoven, you have Duchesne, you have Marchment. You have all those pieces. So I don't think you needed to swing for the fences. And on the back end, the same goes for the back end where you have really good defensemen on the back end. You just needed guys to come in and to plug a hole, right? And you have your great goaltender in the back end and Ottinger. So it would be nice, yeah, if everybody could go out and get a Rantanen. I think the Carolina Hurricanes, they needed a Rantanen. They need a guy to kind of be that superstar and a guy they can lean on when times get tough. I think the Stars have that. I think it's Roope Hintz. I think it's Jason Robertson. I think they have those pieces. So I don't know. I feel like this is a great move from Jim Nill.
Yeah, you're fine. I just don't know. Like who is? Wouldn't you say Aho is better than every forward on the Stars team?
Yeah, probably.
You already had a better player, like and maybe it's Svechnikov too. Like I don't know who's the guy. Who's the guy with the puck on his stick with the game on the line for Dallas?
I would probably say it's Robertson. I think you have to go back to the well, a guy who has done it before. I know he's had a down last year and a down season this year, but he's that guy. And that's the beautiful thing about Dallas is they overwhelm you with just four really solid lines. I would say three really solid scoring lines. When you can roll out Robertson and Hintz and Stankoven, and you got Marchment, Duchesne, and Granlund, and you got Ben Johnson and Dadonov, and you have Sagan coming back, it's hard to compete with that overwhelming one after another after another. Yet it's not a high end like an Edmonton can roll up where you have that just superstar line that is just better than any line you can match up against it. But I don't know. It is what it is. So I think it's what they needed to do and what they could do. And then going back to San Jose, I like what they're doing. They're not, you know, buying into how this team is playing because they haven't playing well, you know, on and off throughout the season, and their vets were playing good. Granlund was good. CeCe was good for them. They aren't mortgaging their future by saying, oh, you know, these guys are good for these young kids. Let's re-sign them like the Chicago Blackhawks did last year, a team that I was very familiar with. They were bad last year, unequivocally bad, but their vets were good. Jason Dickinson, Foligno, and their Peter Mrazek, very good for this team. And instead of leveraging that and trading those guys and getting some prospects, getting some draft picks, they re-signed them. And they didn't get anything at the deadline. And now look where they are. They're still in last place. The vets aren't having the same year they had last year because guess what? They're older. They're not as good as they were in the year before. And they have bad contracts now. And they don't have any young prospects to they do, but they would have more if they would have traded those guys. So I like what Mike Greer did. He's like, okay, I get you're playing good, but we have to think about the future. I'm sorry, we're trading you. First rounder, third rounder, good for them. Chicago should have done that last year. I think they made a mistake signing those guys. And I said that. And maybe that's why I'm not working in Chicago. But it's great for San Jose, good for Mike Brewer, and it was good for our show, Tim. I know I pushed you to get an episode in. I thank you for gutting it out. You're a hero. You really are. Because I know you're probably going to just sleep all night. But I appreciate that. Anything else for the listeners, Tim?
No. We'll be back probably Wednesday, right? With another episode. And then you're traveling. Where are you headed this week?
And over to Wisconsin. I got a little talk I'm doing. So I'm going to take the wife and the new baby. We're going to drive over. We go there every summer to Wisconsin for a week. The kids do a summer camp. So we're going to take our time and drive over and have some fun. But yeah, we'll be back. We'll talk to you guys later this week. But have a good one. Thanks for joining us. Cheers, everybody.
If you already prepay for your energy, a smart meter means you can top up at the touch of a button. Whether you're on the sofa,
with your little chirrups,
at the shops, after the shops have closed. or when you're cozy in bed, like it's raining cats and chicos.
Top up anytime, anywhere. In-store, on mobile or online. Search Get a Smart Meter. Eligibility may vary. Consumer action required.